I know someone at USC actually said, well, entrepreneurship is like having your hair on fire all the time. I was like, no, I feel like it's like a bomb's going off.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This is Zee Holly and for Esprit Devora, and I'm really excited to bring you Shireen Laor Raz Solemnia today. You've done so much in your career already, and would love to just dive in to learn about how you got to where you are and where you're going.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how do we get to know more about Shireen?
All right. So when I was a little kid, I wanted to be like Tom Hanks in the movie Big. That was my dream. And I set out to do that. I basically called my boss at Mattel for an informational interview, and I bugged him for 9 months until he finally gave me a job, even though the first day he said, there's no jobs here. Mm-hmm. I just graduated from Cal State Northridge with a child psychology degree. And I walk into his office with a business card with a link to my resume on it. And this is like the late 90s where he was like, what is that? I've never seen that. Are you an entrepreneur? So there's like the signs and the messages of being an entrepreneur kind of loud and clear. When I look back, kind of like Steve Jobs says, you know, you look back in hindsight and all the things that you've done in his Stanford commencement speech. So similar. So yeah, so that's what I set out to do. I was like super gung-ho about doing testing toys. And I set out on this journey, and everyone at the time was like, are you serious? You want to be testing toys? Is that a real job? I was like, well, I don't know. Mattel's only a Fortune 500 company, like, you know, because, you know, I'm Persian. And normally if you're Persian, you're a doctor or a lawyer. That's pretty much what is it.
Yeah. So what do the parents think about that?
Yeah. So they were kind of like, because I mean, in Iran, they didn't really deal with market research, even though it's like a $1 billion business. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of learning, and literally a lot of learning. And even the only two places I could go, the research that I did was Mattel or Hasbro. Those are the only places that had research departments. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started out on this journey of being an entrepreneur. And I did that for a few years. I was at Mattel for 3 years, worked on Barbie and all the research in consumer research. And then I went to the other side, as they say, and I started the research department at MGA and was the brand manager for Bratz within 6 months. Mm. And that was an awesome experience. It was like doing live MBA school for 5 years at MGA, because like I helped evolve with the movie with Lionsgate and the animated series with Fox, all the really cool stuff that I kind of get to do now, in a sense, a little bit different. And throughout this journey, I was like, okay, so I have the corner office, I got the toys, I got everything I ever wanted. But now all of a sudden, I'm listening to parents complaining about how Bratz and Barbie are not positive role models for their daughter. Mm-hmm. And I started kind of having like a midlife crisis or existential crisis in my late 20s. Because I was like, wait, I got everything I ever wanted. How do I keep going? Because the only thing I could do technically at MGA was move up, but that I couldn't really because it's a family-owned business.
Yeah.
And then, so I kept listening to parents come in. And then in social settings, they would even say, oh yeah, those are bad. Those are negative. Those are bad. So I was like, okay, what am I doing on this planet? So I did a lot of soul searching, and a lot of things came from random places where you would never even think of. I'm writing a book about my journey. I don't have an ending yet, but I have enough stuff that like I couldn't make up. It's insane like how all this stuff has happened. And a lot of it is, I call it being on the yellow brick road.
You don't want to have an ending yet, though.
Well, I feel like, I don't know if you've seen like the Social Network movie, and I don't think there was ever a book, and the Steve Jobs movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. The endings weren't that great. I mean, we know what happened to Steve Jobs. There was a couple movies.
The ending's never that great.
No, the Facebook movie wasn't that great. So I was like, okay, so let's see what other female entrepreneurs in the tech space are there that have movies or books? Not really. I mean, I just read Girl Boss. That was awesome. Yeah. But I heard, you know, they just went through bankruptcy. So there's a lot of crazy things happening.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, definitely having really strong female role models in the media, or actually as telling their stories, Not a lot. And I don't really know why.
Yeah. And that's another thing that happened. So actually, when I was doing research and getting pushed into STEM, Gina Davis had started her Gender and Media Institute. Mm-hmm. So I went to the first ever symposium at USC mm-hmm. and I had a conversation with her. And I said, look, everything you say, I hear at work every single day. Like, I feel like I need to do something about this because it's a little insanely out of hand. She was like, yeah, especially the media. Like, that's why I started this whole thing, because I started watching stuff with my daughter and nothing was empowering. And so I went on this quest, and at first I was like, wait, I grew up with Atari and Nintendo and going back to my serious roots, because I think if I didn't watch the movie Big, I probably would have done stuff in gaming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, but there's nothing in gaming. The last thing I did for Bratz was a virtual world. And I was like, wow, like the numbers are going down on NPD and like the fashion doll numbers are going down. But now all of a sudden we have YouTube and we're getting apps and like we're getting all this amazing stuff digital, and that's what girls are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I set on this quest to start Playworks, which is a gaming startup. And our first project is very similar to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, except mm-hmm. all STEM-based. So I created new original IP and characters that are empowering.
Amazing. That's really amazing. And then you also have Whiz Girl Academy, too.
So it's a funny story, actually. Yeah. Whiz Girls Academy came out of Playworks. So I started being asked to go places and speak. Mm-hmm. And every time I spoke, I talked about how I had to learn to code on my own because I started a gaming startup. And even though I was super techie and grew up with Atari and Nintendo and like obsessed with Transformers and all the things boys like when I was little, mm-hmm. I was still like into tech. And ironically, actually, so I went to LAUSD schools, and I went to Fairburn Avenue Elementary School in Westwood, and I had a female computer science teacher every single day, mm-hmm. and we had the Apple green screen computer, and that's where I learned to code way mm-hmm. back when in the 80s, and that's where I learned about Carmen Sandiego. So we had to do that every single day, and she never pointed a finger and said, oh, you're a girl, you shouldn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. We were all together, girls, boys, doing this, and I was like, wait, what happened? So now that I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like we've gone into a whole nother bubble. It's really crazy. It's crazy.
I remember that, like the Apple II Plus.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting there coding. Yeah. Had the little, the only memory it had was that little cassette tape.
Right. Yeah. It was old school, like the heavy duty floppy disks, right?
Yeah, exactly. People just don't even know what a floppy disk is anymore.
Yeah. And CD-ROMs. When I talk about interactive, they're like, oh, are you making a CD-ROM? I'm like, no, that's like 1980. Interactive is like super hardcore, like future, right? So yeah, so that's how it all started. So I kept getting requests from parents to teach their kids how to code every time I spoke somewhere. And I kept resisting because I was like, there's all these coding programs. I'm bootstrapping a tech startup. I don't have time to do another thing, right?
Yeah.
So ironically, the White House asked me to host a hackathon in January of 2013
Amazing.
At Cross Campus. And I was like, you want me to do what? And they're like, yeah, you have 4 days right after New Year's to do this. And we miraculously had 80 people show up.
It's always right? last minute
right?
with them.
Yeah. So we had Girl Scouts. We had all these people. I was literally like running and biking on the beach and saying, please show up on Saturday because we're going to be live with the White House on Google Hangout. Like, so miraculously it happened. And after that, again, parents kept coming up and saying, teach my kids how to code. And again, I resisted for a good 9 months. Until finally, I was like, you know what? This woman stopped me at USC and she was like, you need to teach my daughter how to code. She took me by the collar and she's like, you need to teach my daughter how to code this summer. And I was like, all right, I surrender. Because literally, it's like slapping me in the face.
Yeah.
So I set out and went to General Assembly, and they resisted for a little bit too, because they were like, we don't have a liquor license. I mean, we have a liquor license. We don't have insurance for kids. We have all these things that are not going to work. I said, you know what? I'm just going to direct these parents. I'm just going to direct these parents to you because I don't know what to do with them, right? I don't have a curriculum. I don't have all the stuff. So finally, after a month, they called and they said, okay, we really need your help. And I said, okay, so let's make this work. So I decided to take the characters and the games and take their original curriculum, UI, UX, HTML, CSS, mm-hmm. and gamify it. And
Playworks.
For Whiz Girls Academy.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we do in Whiz Girls Academy is we teach coding, we teach tech and digital literacy, we teach meditation and yoga, we do basketball with Michael Jordan's basketball clinic. Mm-hmm. It's a full-on healthy, balanced lifestyle program.
So how long is it? Is it an everyday thing? Is it?
It depends. So we've done hackathons. I've done many hackathons for the White House, for Mayor Garcetti, Mayor Garcia in Long Beach. We've just been mobile.
Amazing.
And then we've also done after-school programs, summer camps, during-school programs. It just depends. I'll get a call from a school or someone, library, wherever, and they'll be like, we want this program. And so I go in and basically cater it to what they need.
So, oh my gosh, how do you find the time?
That's a good question. So on the Playworks, on the gaming side, we're in R&D right now, and I'm getting pulled into Oculus and VR and all of this stuff, which I'm not sure is going to work for kids necessarily, because my focus is 8 to 13. Mm. And there is a lot of legal issues and a lot of things that I have to clear up before I get to do that. Mm-hmm. Even though Oculus is, please make your games for us and like let's talk about this. They keep going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then on the academy side, we're basically ad hoc and mobile. So I just go where they tell me to go. I don't have like a set schedule. I would like to have like a calendar for 2017, but it hasn't seemed to work. And we've had 2,900 people come through ever since August of 2013, ever since we did our first program at the Boys and Girls Club in Venice as a pilot. Amazing. And literally miraculously, everything showed up. Like the Michael Jordan's basketball coach just happened to be in the building and we kind of bartered. He's like, what are you doing in this room? I said, we're coding. And he's like, oh, I'll teach him basketball. I said, I'll teach you how to code. Can we? Because I don't want these kids to sit down for like 5-6 hours straight.
Yeah.
So that's how
it's
I was like.
It's amazing how you, when you give,
right.
then it comes back.
It's totally amazing because like every single day it was magical. Like one day Cafe Gratitude was like, we love this. We're going to donate food. The next day Akasha came in. Like one day Veggie. Every single day there was like a healthy food component. There was a female or a male that came and talked about how they work at Google and how they got their careers or went to MIT or like just. Really amazing things
amazing.
Happened. And then we also work with Esri, which is mapping. And that's really cool for
Esri's
the kids, too.
Esri's an amazing local company, too. Yeah, all the mapping. Yeah, amazing. So when did you start Playworks?
In 2008. Okay. Officially, unofficially. Yeah.
Okay. And then when did you get interested in tech? I mean, you clearly were coding from the very beginning.
So, yeah. No, in 2008, I was very clear on we're doing gaming. I went to GDC, the Game Developers Conference, the first year. These guys walked up and were like, are you a booth babe? You should go over there. And I was like, no. Here's my card. Here's what I do. I'm a coder, by the way, as well. And they were like, whoa. Like, so I've had this really interesting experience with, you know, the whole gaming industry. Yep. And also the tech industry as a whole. As a
so
female.
They pretty much, they did embrace you. In that role once they realized.
Yeah, I started, like, at first I was like, whoa, what is this? But then I was like, okay, you know what? There's no lines in the women's bathroom. Like, there's all these amazing things that I could do and have fun with it. And I ended up, like, getting pulled into every party every night and just, like, come meet with this person, come meet with that person.
Yeah,
like, and ironically, an old friend that used to work with at Mattel, he was in gaming, I bumped into, and he was the head of EA's mobile at the time. Mm-hmm. So he sat me down and he was like, this is what you need to do. I don't recommend doing gaming for girls, but if you really want to do it, like, this is what you should be doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I just literally, it's been like being on the yellow brick road ever since.
Well, and you said, you know, like Steve Jobs said, looking back, you can really see the arc of your career, right?
So yeah, totally.
If you look back on your career, what would you say your calling is?
It's very clear now because I had Deepak Chopra tell me to give back, which I was like, at the time when I was going through this, like, what am I doing on this planet? He was like, you need to give back, because I ran into him at this event. And I ran up and I said, what do you do when you get a dream? And he was like, oh, you need to give back. And I was like, I volunteer my time. I give money to charity. I do all that stuff. I thought I was giving back. He was like, no, trust me, you'll figure it out. So I started connecting the dots moving forward. And like each person had a message. And now I realize my message and mission is to empower women and girls with gaming and tech.
Very cool. People had to shake you by the lapels.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I resisted. And it's funny because I was like, okay, we're doing gaming. Like, and when I get on this trip of like, we're doing something, like I was like, I'm doing toy testing. I don't care what anybody says. Like people were like, oh, be a secretary. It's been 9 months. You didn't get a job. Like I was like, no, I'm on path. Like I'm super clear. Even though my boss said no, I was like, I don't hear no. Like I'm going to keep bugging him. I went to the toy fair on my own. I was super passionate and driven. And that's how I've been with the gaming stuff too. I mean, it's been like super challenging, but it's also really exciting because I get to do stuff with new technology. And then the whole thing with like going back to my roots of being a gamer when I was little, and that's a big part of it too, because I don't think we have enough, you know, gamers that are female.
Yeah. So who did you, sounds like you had a lot of people kind of helping nudge you in the right direction. Do you have any mentors that helped you along the way?
That's a good question. I've had actually, ironically, a lot of guy friends that are mentors, a lot of big tech people that have been like, wow, we really love what you're doing. This is really cool. How can we help? Mm-hmm. And everything we've done with the academy has been free to the kids. So it's all sponsor driven. Mm-hmm. So like AT&T will sponsor, Verizon will sponsor different sponsors. So a lot of people have stepped up. And I think in terms of mentors, if I had a choice, like I would say I would love to have Elon Musk as a mentor. I don't know if he has time for that kind of thing, but like that, because he's just
amazing.
We're
putting it out on the waves
here. Right? Yeah. And he started as, you know, he started a video game. I think he sold it for like a little chunk of money when he first started out before he did PayPal and all this other stuff. So
hey, there's a path.
Yeah, exactly.
It won't be long. You'll be sending people to Mars.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Reality.
Actually, so
it'll
we take the kids to SpaceX and Google, and now we're working with Snapchat and Red Bull to do stuff. But when we first took them to SpaceX, we kind of joked. We were like, if there's a one-way ticket to Mars, can we code our way back? And he kind of laughed. And I said, well, maybe that's what we should be working on. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was there ever a point when you realized the track you're on was not the right direction?
You know, I keep going back to the yellow brick road. So I've been on the red brick road a lot because, like, the whole gaming thing, I was like, well, we're making games in Unity. How come this isn't working? Like, there's been a lot of back and forth. And initially I was like, well, why do people say Avatar took 15 years? I don't understand. Now I'm like, I should have shut my mouth. Like, creative projects have a mind of their own. And it takes whatever time with technology and the right people and the resources. You know, all of these things have to come together. So at times I was like, am I supposed to really be doing this gaming thing? And then boom, something happens. We're just like, yes, you got to keep moving forward no matter what.
And how did the life experiences that you had in the past, whether it's Bratz or other things, how did those aid in your success today?
That's a really good question. I think a big part of it is always being driven and passionate and persistent, because as an entrepreneur, you always have to be like hustling and always have to be doing things and like, you know, don't focus too much on one thing that doesn't work. Keep moving forward. Keep planting seeds. I know someone at USC actually said, well, entrepreneurship is like having your hair on fire all the time. I was like, no, I feel like it's like a bomb's going off, like when you're walking. But it's like you have to plant those seeds and just keep moving. And I think for the longest time, just for the gaming stuff, I was like, why is this not growing? Why is this not? And I actually had a conversation with Jordan Mechner. He created the Prince of Persia. And I asked him when I first shifted and was clear on the gaming stuff, I was like, what do you recommend for someone coming out of toys and entertainment for kids and getting super focused on gaming? And he turned to me and said, are you a gardener? And that's literally what my TED talk is all about. Because he was like, you have to plant the seed, you have to let it grow. And I kept looking at him like, are you smoking something? Like, that makes no sense to me. But now I'm like, oh my God, he was so right. Like, you have to like let it grow organically. That's like life, right?
And it takes a while. It doesn't,
it takes time.
It does.
Yeah. And I'm ultimately building a brand like I worked on in the past. And those take really long times. Like, I wish I could just snap my fingers and say, you know what? We're like Pokemon Go. Everyone's playing. It's all overnight success. But that's definitely not how it goes.
It takes years to become an overnight success, right? I think. Yeah. But you're talking about being really, passionate and just keep going and being determined. It's easy to say that. What does that actually look like? Like, how do you have examples of a challenge that you had to overcome and what that felt like?
That's a really good question. I think I keep going back to the gaming stuff because initially I got like a little bit of resistance from gaming, the industry and as everything as a whole. But then when I started like really pushing it and being like, this is who I am, like I started getting asked to speak on panels. Like I spoke for Unity at GDC this last year. And I started getting like the shift, and even people were talking about it because like it's basically like proving yourself in a sense. And I think initially people were like, well, who is that? We don't know who she is. Like, what's her deal? And like, she's not even from the gaming industry. And all of a sudden she's like, you know, doing all stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm a coder. Mm-hmm. I don't just talk about it. I actually do it. And I've been doing all this stuff, you know, and I go back to my roots of, look, I was a gamer when I was a little kid. And those were all like life lessons in a sense, because like when you're playing Pac-Man and you lose, like you feel like, oh, my God, but you can play again. Right. You keep playing until in any of those games were always like Super Mario Brothers, Zelda, everything. I think my biggest thing was Paperboy. I was always like obsessed with Paperboy.
I never played that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was Paperboy?
So it's basically you have like a route and you have to throw, you know, the papers on a bike. And then there's like dogs running at you and like post office, the post truck like coming at you, like all kinds of craziness, like obstacles.
Like Frogger, but
going through.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally fun.
So you really learning about yourself and you know, what while you're pursuing your dream. What did you learn?
I think the biggest thing is patience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've always wanted, you know, even with the whole Tom Hanks, the movie Big and toy thing, like it took me 9 months to officially get a job. But on the first day, I was like, this is what I want to do. I was super clear. Even though I asked for an informational interview, I was like, I want a job here. And he was like, well, we don't have anything here right now. I was like, come on, like, don't say that. Like, you can. And ultimately he did. He created a position because he saw that I was like, this
amazing.
Is what's happening, right?
That's amazing.
So I think patience is the biggest lesson, especially you're dealing with tech, anything technology, because you've seen so many things. Like, for example, Uber, like, has shifted and changed dramatically ever since they started, right? And they're still changing. Google, all of these companies, all everything tech dramatically mm-hmm. shifts and changes with times. And I think that takes a lot of patience mm-hmm. and perseverance. And I think those are the two biggest things I learned. I mean, I learned those early on with the toy stuff, but with this, it's a whole nother level.
What did you learn about yourself, though? Did you learn that you do have the patience? And that, I mean, it sounds like...
Well, initially, I didn't think I did. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, all the signs and messages are here, and every parent wants something educational. Because initially, actually, I decided to do a TV show that was empowering for girls. And we pitched it to Nick and Disney, and they came back and said, kids don't want to learn. Boom. And they slammed the door in our face. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, parents are hounding me every single minute saying we want something educational and positive and empowering. And like, how can this be happening? Like, I'm getting all the signs and messages. It doesn't make sense to me. But I had a colleague that was in the entertainment industry for over 30 years. And he said, I think you're really onto something. I don't mm-hmm. care what they say. You got to keep going. And I was like, okay, so the shift went from TV, even though I still have plans for that, to like gaming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what's next?
That's a great question. So officially launching on the gaming side, and then...
And what does that look like? Like, what do you, when you say launching on gaming?
So officially coming out of beta and being live so that everyone can play and
but where
keep
would
playing.
People find, like, what platforms are you doing?
So we're multi-platform, mm-hmm. and with Unity, we're planning to be multi-platform so mm-hmm. everyone can have access. And then as soon as I figure out the VR, or maybe it's AR, that'll be another element as well.
Mm-hmm.
But my ultimate goal is to build a brand, like I said. So there's going to be, you know, books and licensing, products and merchandise. Never dolls. I'm not going to do any dolls.
No, you're done with
but,
that.
No, I'm done with that. But do everything think, digital.
Why not dolls? Do you think it's, is it the image or is it?
It's a couple of things. Yeah, I think the image is the biggest thing, because usually 8 to 13 year old girls, from what I've heard and seen, they don't want something a doll anymore. It's too babyish. Mm. So they're all digital. So like if you give them a Leap Pad or an iPad, they'll take the iPad. No, you know, and the Leap Pad's like babyish.
Really?
Don't give me that.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly digital, because that's kind of what makes sense to me. And that's really what, you know, Carmen Sandiego was, and I modeled everything after that. I mean, they had a game show and an animated series and all this really cool stuff. Never, I think the only thing they might have had was plush or something like that, but never.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a woman in tech that inspires you?
That's a great question. I go back to Gwen Shotwell because she's the president of SpaceX. And when I met her, we were speaking at an event at Northrop Grumman. She was the keynote speaker and I was speaking on a panel right after her. And she was talking about how when she got into engineering, she was wearing... she was kind of not sure about it, but she went to this event and this woman was wearing amazing shoes. And she was an engineer and she was really inspired by that. And all of a sudden, she's telling me the story, and I'm thinking, I used to go to fashion shows for brats. Like, that's really cool. I still love fashion. Like, I'm really all about that stuff. So I don't think there should be a divide. So I think Gwen is it. And obviously, she's working with Elon.
Amazing.
So.
I know. Elon gets all the credit. She doesn't really get the, you know, people, a lot of people don't even know who she is.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing I always try to talk about her, because I think that it's important to know. And the thing is, like, honestly, I don't know if there's other women that are in tech that are, like, actually tech founders and, like, coders or, like, engineers. I don't know. Like, I think the latest one I had heard of was the woman that started Theranos, but a lot of craziness is happening with that. And I think she dropped out of school, but she was maybe an engineering major or a STEM major or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot, actually. That's what the Women in Tech podcast is all about.
Yeah, and I would love to hear more about
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to be able to showcase amazing people like yourself. So you ready for the quick fire round?
Sure.
What's your favorite book?
Outliers.
Okay. Favorite podcast or video series?
I would have to say this one. This is awesome.
Awesome. Best resource for tech?
I guess We Are LA Tech has a lot of really cool updates.
Yeah, We Are LA Tech.
Yeah.
Your hobby?
Biking on the beach.
Nice.
And reading, both
nice.
Of those.
Where do you bike to?
Usually from the pier in Santa Monica to Malibu.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So most importantly, how can people stay in touch?
So my website, ShireenLaOraSolemnia.com. I know it's super long, but you'll never forget it.
You'll never forget it.
Yeah. Instagram, Twitter. I'm all over in social media, so... Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. I'm just, it's so amazing. And it's such an honor to have you here. And so we can hear about your story. You've done so much for women, so much for girls. And actually you're just beginning.
Thank you
really
so much.
Really excited to see what's going to happen. Yeah. So Well, this is just the beginning. To connect with other amazing women entrepreneurs, go to womenintechvip.com. Also, if you love hearing from inspiring entrepreneurs and want to dive more into the world of making things like food, fashion, aerospace, check out my podcast, The Art of Manufacturing. It's a behind-the-scenes look at how entrepreneurs who make stuff are trying to make it in their industries. Search for The Art of Manufacturing on your favorite podcast player or go to makeitinla.org/listen. This is Zee Holly in for Esprit Devora. Thanks for listening to Women in Tech.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.